The Power of the Word is brought to you each week by the support of our partners and friends. Last week on Power of the Word.
Then Jesus gave us a very clear directive to walk in love, and this whole concept of love and harmony and unity sets the tone for God to move. People in disharmony or that don't stay in unity are not going to have much of a manifestation of God, if any. You know, the people in the upper room, they were all in one accord in one place. And then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the house where they were sitting. And so God's presence came when people got in a harmony and a unity and a oneness of heart and soul and mind, and God manifested. Amen.
Nothing on earth is more valuable than the wisdom of God. James 1:5 tells us that if we ask for wisdom, God will give it to us. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, God has the insight to bring us through successfully. In this series, Dr. Ed King shares scripture focusing on the strategic ways God shares wisdom.
Knowledge is wonderful and we should pursue knowledge, and education is great and we need education. There's no question about that. But education alone is not enough. We need the wisdom on how to apply the knowledge that we have, the education that we have. We need wisdom to be able to put it into use.
To get your copy of Wisdom for the Times as a digital download for $7 or on CD for $15, call us at 800-956-4433 or visit us at poweroftheword.com. God will give us wisdom to navigate all of life's circumstances.
You know what made David a king? Goliath. God will give you some circumstances if you overcome, will make you reign with him. God will put some circumstances in your life when you overcome them, it'll take you to the highest level. I mean, there won't be any give up, no quit, no run. It'll be God exalting you because of your ability to overcome the devil. Amen. And so the congregation, they cried and the people wept. And the children of Israel murmured. Well, here you go. They got the gripe on them. Everybody say murmur. Now notice who was the object of their murmuring. Moses and Aaron. Well, we can't find God, and we'd be afraid to do that with God. But we'll just dog his leaders. That's the way it always is. I can't find God, so I'll just beat up on the pastor. Don't let me hear you. I wasn't joking, but you were supposed to laugh right there. But anyway, that wasn't as humorous as I thought it might be, but it's supposed to be. Anyway, they murmured against Moses and Aaron, the whole congregation unto them, would God that we died in the land of Egypt. Oh, here we go. Oh, my God, I wish I'd die. I wish the rapture had happened today. My God, it's so hard, and the gas is $5 a gallon. I wish the rapture had happened. Jesus, come get me out of here. Oh, you world overcomer, you. There you go. I got faith in God. I got faith for the rapture. Well, we believe the rapture's coming, but God wants you to live in the world you got right now. You don't have any promise of the rapture getting you out of here. I know that escape hatch is coming, but God wants you to be an overcomer till it happens. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Would to God that we'd died in the land of Egypt, or that God we'd died in the wilderness. Oh, that we'd died in the wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, and our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? We want to go back. When I lived in the world, I didn't have this kind of trouble. Look at all these people out here in the world. They don't have the warfare that we have. What's wrong? I mean, I serve God, and look at this. Oh, really? Don't be a spiritual wimp. Don't envy the world, because they're not your friends. they're as close to heaven as they're ever going to get. You're as close to hell as you're ever going to get. So you got a better deal in your future than they do. So don't envy them. You'll have to analyze that a little bit, but it'll work. Amen. Then they said one to another, let's make a captain and let us return to Egypt. We're going to get us a new leader. This blooming Moses and Aaron, they're too hard on us. They want more out of us than we can give. We're going to get us a new leader. We're going to start us a new church. The church of the backsliders. Here we go. There we go. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly. And so here, you know, they're crying out. And all the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And so here you have Joshua and Caleb, and they're crying out to God. And, you know, from that whole group, of course you had Moses and Aaron, but from that whole group that went into the land, you only had two that came back with a good report that said, we're well able. And we know Joshua, obviously, there's a book of Joshua where he led the children of Israel. He took over when Moses died. So we know Joshua got the promise. And you know, Caleb, he said, Lord, you know, the thing that come out of this, God judged them out of their own mouth. He said, oh, you want to go back to Egypt? Oh, you want to die in the wilderness? He said, well, I'm going to let you die in the wilderness, just like you said. So any of you that are 20 and over, none of you shall inherit the land, but you'll all die in the wilderness, just like you prophesied. Now, your kids are not responsible, so they get to go in. 20 and under get to go in. And Joshua and Caleb get to go in, too. So all of them got what they said, and all of them got what they believed. God works individually, Joshua and Caleb, and he works corporately, the whole congregation died in the wilderness. So God recognizes an atmosphere of faith on individuals and corporately. And what we need is a corporate faith. We need individual faith. But you can be a person of faith. If you're in a group of people who don't believe God, you're going to have a hard time moving forward. There's a corporate faith that comes out together, amen? And so he told them, he said, don't rebel against the Lord. We can take them and all that. Now, verse 11, real important verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? Now, see, God had done all kinds of miracles for them. I mean, you know, the parting of the Red Sea, do you understand that? The plagues that hit Egypt to get them free. They come out there, the scripture says there was not one feeble one among them. He healed everybody of every malady of any form. There was not one feeble one among them. And he took them out with all the wealth of Egypt. He made them rich and then sent them to the wilderness where there were no shopping malls. That's rough, you know. Give you all the money and no place to spend it. Sounds like Vietnam to me. What do I mean? Well, you spend about 13 months there, you'll know. You don't need any money because there ain't nothing to buy. You go half the places I've been in the world, you don't need any money because there's nothing to buy. If you had all the money, there ain't nothing to buy. Nothing you want. But he was teaching them and training them, and he had to get them wealthy, so when they came into the land, they were wealthy. But he taught them how to save. Some say Jews still know how to do that. That was a place for you to recognize my hidden humor. Amen. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I've showed among them? God showed them so many provisions and so many blessings and so many things. He said, how long is it going to take for these people to believe me? Now, you remember earlier we said faith simply in its purest form is believing God. Faith is believing God. Say that. Faith is believing God. Okay, so this is what's being talked about right here. He said, how long is it going to be before these people will really believe me or before they'll really use their faith? See, a positive atmosphere of faith would have changed their whole future. It would have changed everything about where they ended up. It would have, they didn't have to go on that march. They tell us that that journey was about a two-week journey to get into the promised land and all. And they marched around that mountain again and again and again for 40 years on a two-week journey because of an atmosphere of unbelief. So do you think we need an atmosphere of positive faith? God works in atmospheres. And had they given him the right thing, he could have delivered them by many or a few. It wasn't their power that was going to deliver them anyway. It was God's power. All they had to do was believe him. All they had to do was exercise faith in him. That's all they had to do. So you get a group of people that'll believe God and challenge circumstance and stand up and defy. That's why, you know, Wednesdays we've been doing them a little bit different. I'm just so tired of these people wanting to censor everything we do. I don't want to be censored. Why? I got something to say. If I have to get permission to tell you the truth, I mean, what are we doing? You know? We need to do some things uncensored. Everybody say uncensored.
Uncensored.
Everybody say unchained.
Unchained.
Because it's about the same thing. Amen. Matthew 17, 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, 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 belief. If faith is believing God, then unbelief would be not believing God or believing something else. You can't not believe. You just got to choose what you believe. Fear is not a lack of faith. Fear is just faith in the wrong thing. I believe I'm going to die if I get on a plane. Well, you believe in the wrong thing then. You know, you get what I'm talking about? See, fear is the result of believing the wrong thing. So people believe whether they believe God or something else. People still believe. So unbelief is not no believing. It's believing the wrong thing. Because you can't stop believing. You just got to choose what you believe. You remember Thomas, Jesus been raised from the dead and all that. You know, we refer to him as doubting Thomas. And he said, except I can, you know, touch the holes in his hand and put my hand in the spear wound in his side, I will not believe. Remember that? So believing is a condition of will. You choose it. You choose if you will or you won't. What are you going to believe? You got to choose it. I choose to believe God. Well, that's crazy. No, it's smart. Well, there are no circumstances that validate. Well, you don't have to have circumstances. All you got to do is have a word from God. God will change the circumstances if you use some faith. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I don't care if you got two hot nickels to rub together or don't. You know that woman that came down there and threw those two, we talk about it, those two widow's mites in the offering. And Jesus was in the temple. He was watching the people give. You remember that? Well, that'd get you in trouble today watching the offering, wouldn't it? I mean, this is the head of the church, though, watching the offering. And you know one thing it says about that, it did not say he looked to see how much they gave or what they gave. It didn't say that. It said when he watched the offering, he said he saw how they gave. Watched the attitude behind the giving. And he said that woman that gave two mites, he said she's given more than all of them. Because God didn't count the size of the offering by what she gave. He counted the size of the offering by what she had left. And I don't care if you don't have two hot nickels to rub together. If you trust God and believe God, God will make a way for you. I guarantee you that. Yeah, that's a fact. He's got ways of doing what you can't do. He's the God who's more than enough. Say that. He's the God who's more than enough. He's not just enough, barely enough. He's more than enough. Amen. He's your provider. He's your God. He's your Lord and Savior. And He cares about you. Say, God cares about me.
God cares about me.
He does. We have this wonderful opportunity that God has provided us through the television, satellites, and all the things that we do to reach you. But it is an expensive proposition to come to you. And we do it for you. We don't do it for money. We don't do it for any of those reasons. We do it for you. But it takes money to do it. You can have money and have no ministry, but you can't have ministry when you have no money. We appreciate you being willing to partner with us here at Power of the Word through your giving and through your prayers, because you are making it happen. Of course, the Lord, but He uses people just like you. And so prayerfully consider being a part of this team here at Power of the Word through your prayers and through your financial giving. And we certainly would appreciate it, and we thank God for you. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith, if you believe, as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, remove and go to yonder place, and it shall remove. And listen, if you believe, what did He say? Nothing shall be impossible to you. See, that's what He's looking for. All He wants is somebody to believe Him. He's not looking for somebody who's super smart. I mean, it doesn't hurt to have some brains. But I mean, if you think that's going to get you where you need to be in God, I mean, I don't care how much you know. You don't know enough to challenge Him. When we're going to stack up brain power, you lose. He's got more than we do. And He understands what we don't. And all God wants is somebody to believe Him and trust Him. An atmosphere of faith. Amen? And you look back here again in Numbers 14:24, it says, but my servant Caleb, listen, because he had another spirit with him and it followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his seed shall possess it. And Caleb, you know, he's 80 years old, and he's still crying out, God, give me that mountain. And he got it too. He didn't just cry out, give it to me. He said, we're going to inherit the land, and he did. Now, those others died in the wilderness, but Joshua and Caleb, no, they went into the land. Why? Why? Because they had a different spirit. It's a spirit of faith. You understand? You need a new house? You can get it. Well, nobody else is able to get it. Well, I can get one. You need a raise? Well, I can get that too. Oh, you can't say that. Yes, I can say that. Give me my mountain. I want my mountain. I don't want your mountain. I don't want to covet your mountain. I want my mountain. God's got one for you. He's got a breakthrough for you. Amen. Say, I want my breakthrough. I want my destiny. Say it. Well, you say it, you can have it. Amen. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, it says, the Lord has a plan for you. Well, I want the plan fulfilled. You understand? I was put here with a purpose. God wasn't thinking about something else when He created me. He wanted me, this exact one, with all my... You know the word, I was going to say idiosyncrasy, but the root of the word idiosyncrasy is idiot. So I better change that word. With all my little, you know, nuances and quirkies, you don't have any, but... Me and Nora are the only two that I know that don't have any, but everybody else. Well, never mind. She does have some, but don't look at me in that self-righteous tone of voice. No, we all got our problems. But you know, God knew what he got when he got you. And he still wanted you. God knew you weren't perfect. Why do you think he sent Jesus? He knew what you'd be. Well, you know, I disappoint myself. Well, I know you do. But guess what? What do you think the blood of Jesus is about? Amen. Do you know that you and all your problems and shortcomings and failures and everything, do you know God the Father sees you as perfect? When you were presented to him, do you know when Adam was created, he was flawless. He didn't have any problems. I mean, there was no sin anywhere. Do you know when you were presented to the Father, did you know the Father knows you through the Son? And when you were presented to the Father through the blood of his Son, he only knows you as perfect. He knows you like he knew Adam before sin entered. He doesn't see any of your faults or weaknesses or your little idiosyncrasies. You understand that? God sees you perfect, whole. And he loves you. And he's for you. And he's on your side. And I don't care how many times you've missed it. Now, we're not glorifying missing it. But he said, when you miss it, if you'd call on me, if you'd confess it, he said, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all of it. So he gives you a clause. He gives you an out clause when you miss it. Well, I messed up. Well, I know. So did I. So did the person beside you. But we're not forgiven because we're good. We're forgiven because Jesus was good. And we're in him. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's not looking for your perfections. He's looking for your willingness to come to him. When you mess up, tell him about it. Don't run from him. Run to him. Well, you don't know what I've done. Well, I don't want to know. But you get it under the blood. And you tell God what you did. And quit doing it. He said, go thy way and sin no more. Tell him what you've done. Walk away from it. And then quit beating yourself up over it. And telling God all the reasons why you're unworthy. Jesus didn't die for the unworthy to leave you unworthy. He died for the unworthy to make you the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. He died for the sinner to make you a saint. Amen. My God. Amen. Amen. So he didn't love you because you were good. He loved you because he loved you. And Caleb had another spirit with him, and he followed the Lord. And so we've got another spirit. Say, I have another spirit. Well, the 10 had a spirit of doubt. And Joshua and Caleb had a spirit of faith. And you see here in Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. Listen, of unbelief. And so God says unbelief is evil, and it comes all the way from the heart. But notice who he said it to, brethren. And so Christians can have that evil heart of unbelief in them too. Yes, they can. You're right. Amen. That's right. You don't have to, but you know, we're subject. We're people. We're people. We're not, we didn't suddenly become some, you know, we're not angels. We're people. And we can have that, but we don't have to have it. And so he gives us a warning. He said, don't let unbelief stop you from receiving from God. So I'm talking about God working in atmospheres. He works in an atmosphere of faith. He works in an atmosphere where the energy and belief is charged individually and collectively. Say, we're believers.
We're believers.
We're not doubters.
We believe God.
We believe God.
We believe that what he said,
he can do. We don't only believe what he said, that he can do.
We believe what he said,
He will do.
He will do.
We're believers. We're not doubters. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I have faith in God. What He promised, He's able to bring to pass. For me, for my nation,
for my church,
for us,
for my family.
What He said,
He's not only able to do,
He's willing to do.
Thank God.
He's doing it for me.
I'm a faith person,
and I receive Him
and all He's promised
in Jesus' name.
Now give Him a shout of praise.
He's worthy. He's worthy.
The Bible tells us that God works in atmospheres. We see this. Jesus went to His own hometown of Nazareth and could there. It did say He wouldn't, but it said He couldn't do any mighty works there because of the atmosphere and the conditions that were created. And one of the big things that created such a negative atmosphere was their unbelief. Jesus could there do no mighty works because of their unbelief. An atmosphere of faith is essential to God moving in our lives. He wants us to believe. And faith believes before it sees. Worldly faith, or head faith, if you will, only believes what it can see. But we believe in the unseen. We believe in the future. I believe that heaven's real. I know heaven's real. I believe that. I've embraced that. But God works in an atmosphere of faith. And your faith starts with you coming to Jesus. The Bible says He has given to us the measure of faith. And that measure of faith, if we'll believe in our heart, say with our mouth, then we can be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God. He gives us the faith to receive Him. And right now, I believe He's energizing you with the gift of faith that you can come to Jesus right now, right where you're at. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I take You right now as my Lord and my Savior. I give my life to You to serve You today and forever. Sin, Satan, I don't serve You. Jesus, I make You the Lord of my life. Now, if you prayed that prayer, know you meant it. Let us know here at Power of the Word, because we want to pray with you. We want to rejoice with you. We want to know about you. So let us know. Thanks for being a part. We do this for you. We don't do it for us. We do it for you. So thanks for participating with us. We know you don't have to, but we're glad you do. We love you. Enjoyed being with you. We'll see you next time.
We hope you've been blessed by today's teaching. If you would like to receive this message by Dr. Ed King as an MP3 or CD for a gift of any amount, please visit us at poweroftheword.com. Or call us at 800-956-4433. Let the truths found in this message take hold in your life. Request your copy today.